outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey.
2022, man, can you believe it?
I cannot. This year has felt like it has flown by.
Yeah, not only has it flown by, but just for a guy like me, you know, I was worried that Jesus would come before I got married 46 years ago. So I'm like, wow, we've had 46 years since I never was sure we would get to it. And here we still are. And it's 2022. That's just crazy.
And it's pretty wild to imagine 2022. And, we're moving into the science fiction age where all the old, even in the late 90s, early 2000s science fiction movies, we're starting to actually live in those decades, which is pretty wild.
And beyond them. In some way, the technology is better. In some ways, I'm still waiting for that little Star Trek-y thing that they rub over a wound and it heals or fixes your teeth or whatever without pain and needles and all the crud we still use today in medicine. I don't get it.
Yes, where are the microbots that can go in and just heal bones instantaneously or kill all the cancer cells right away? I mean, or my hovercraft car. That was supposed to come a long time ago.
I really don't care about the hovercraft car. I really care about pain-free medicine. I don't know why medicine, you think they would be up on the curve of doing things that are pain-free, but they're still poking and jabbing and cutting and doing stuff that shouldn't be done. You shouldn't need anesthetic in medicine because everything should just be a little blue light you rub over something and it gets better.
I like this idea. I like this idea.
It's not happening though. I've been dreaming of it since the early 60s when I saw it on Star Trek. Going, why don't we have that? And no one in the last 50 years has said, hey, that'd be a good idea. Let's try and do that. Nobody. So every time I go to the doctor, I remind them of that and say, you guys are slacking. You guys ought to have that done by now. So I did the ugly, nasty thing I said I'd never do again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I went to a Marvel movie.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Got lured into it by the grandkids. They're going to go see the new Spider-Man flick. And I'm going, you know, of the Marvel movies, Spider-Man has seemingly had more plot than most, even so the enemies are tiresome in the whole thing. But no, it was everything I expected in a Marvel movie and less. It was, I slept through 15 minutes of it. I did. My son slept through 30, so that's his deal. Yeah, he did worse than me. I think I slept about 10, but I got him going, okay, I don't know why that happened and we got here, but we did. And so, yeah, it was, that's the last Marvel movie. If I have any integrity, I'm not going to try that again. But I did catch Matrix number 4. Did you?
Yes, I did. It was my wife and I watched it.
Oh my gosh. Sarah and I watched it. And Sarah's not a Matrix fan. And I loved the first one. The second two were just way below standard, but man, I didn't have a lot of expectation about this one, but man, there was some good stuff in there.
Oh, I found myself pausing, rewinding, pausing to check the timestamps so I could go back and get quotes. I mean, there was some really good stuff in there. Especially when they come out with a movie this far after the trilogy, it's like, well,
yeah, 20 years.
20 years. Yeah. What's going to happen? And man, very clever in the way that they tied that in and the, oh my gosh. So what drew you to that movie? What were some things that stood out?
Well, it's still fairly new, so I don't give away any plot spoiler, but there's some lines in that movie that really just come off the page like the other ones. One was, nothing travels faster than light except gossip.
Yes.
Love that one. And then this one, Neo is talking and he says, it means they turned my life into a video game. And the person who's helping him says, if we don't know what's real, we can't resist. They took your story, something that meant so much to people like me, and turned it into something trivial. Mm. And boy, the trivialization of our story, or even the trivialization of the life of Jesus, that we've reduced it to something trivial, icons and stuff that becomes less and less meaningful to our journey, less and less inside the relationship. And I chewed on that through the whole movie. I kept coming back to that. My gosh, how much in our life, we talked about how much worship got trivialized from people living under Father's reality to people who sing songs on Sunday morning. teaching got reduced from, man, really helping people explore their journey to a lecture of someone else's knowledge. I mean, so many of these rich, rich terms were trivialized by almost the religious comic book we put it in. And so that's a big grabber for me. And that's core to the whole Matrix franchise, is there's this whole system that exists to keep us captive and not allow us to know how captive we are, to give us these illusions of life and grandeur, even while we're captive and just being copper top batteries in some gel toilet somewhere. So yeah, I there's lots of others, but those are the ones hit me. What about you?
Well, honestly, the one that really nailed me was one that was, so Neo is sitting in the bathroom. He's literally sitting on the toilet in this public bathroom, and there's all the things that are written on the walls. And yet it zooms in just for like 10, 15 seconds on this quote. And the quote is, "It is so much simpler to bury reality than it is to dispose of dreams." And that, like, man, I saw the clip and I was like, whoa, wait, hold on. I got to go back to that. And so I like paused it and rewind and go back to the scene and then pause it on the scene and took a screenshot of it. But the thing that just really, man, that sticks out to me in that is it's so much simpler to bury reality, that as we're pursuing things and as we're going after these, what does it look like to live in the reality of the love of Christ and that hope and that aspiration? And yet if we can bury that, if we can just take that and bury that reality, I mean, easy. And yet there's so much complexity to that quote. I loved that quote. The quote about nothing travelers faster than light than gossip, that, like, I just started busting out laughing when that came up in the movie, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, that so good.
And one more I had with, here's the thing about feelings. They're so much easier to control than facts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, which is even related to the gossip thing. Lies, illusions are so much easier to create and so much easier to desire than to really be people who hold the truth and want to know what's true and don't want the real things of life to be trivialized.
Well, and so I had a little bit of beef with the fact that they use, and I don't want to spoiler, but the role of the therapist in the movie, I had a little bit of beef with that.
Oh, I figured you might.
There's a slight bit of beef there. But, oh my gosh, he had another quote. And I'm going to have to go back in and get it here next time we talk about this. But it was about fear. He's like, for 99% of the people, it's fear and manipulation, baby. And that's like, that's all he said. And it's like, wow. Okay. That in the reboot, that's how they chose and that's how they moved to manipulate people and to hold them in the Matrix, was fear and uncertainty and comfort. We're just going to hold them with those two things and that's it. That's all we need.
Give them the fear and then give them the false comfort. Both. Yes. Our society does that so well. Our religious society does that well. Our political culture does that so well. And I'd say that's what I come into this year, definitely from the last one, with that real passion for what's real, not real, and how do I live inside that space? And that movie really touches.
Yeah.
Because before I watched The Matrix, I watched all, Sarah was gone for a weekend with the girls. They went on a Christmas lights trip to San Francisco, some crazy thing. So I was home alone with me and the pup. So I watched all three of the original Matrix movies. So just kind of steeped in that world and that whole Jesus coming to show us what was real and not real. And we end up living more in what is not real than what is real. We trivialize, we flip the terms. We use the terms for something else over here that takes it away from the reality of what you talk about, living loved inside of Christ, which is such a rich, real experience. And we painted illusions around it so people don't even know what's real about it anymore. And they just bury what's real.
Yes.
Because it's easy to do. And then you're medicating your fears in false comfort. And man, have we talked about that a million times on this podcast? Because that's how the world works. That's how religion works, to hold people captive.
There was so much in that movie as I was sitting there. I was like, I just really felt like this is the personification of what you and I had been talking about. Like, if you were going to put it over the last few weeks, if you were going to create a fictional narrative to really encapsulate some of those ideas, I was just sitting there like, whoa, like I couldn't do that better if I tried to. It was just so rich in that.
It's crazy that a science fiction movie by Hollywood types unpack some really amazing stuff. Yeah. I thought that was true of the first movie. I think it's definitely true. Although I think the first movie is still better because it was so shocking.
Yeah.
But this is a real good reboot of that to take a look at some of those same realities again and realize how in 20 years it's so easy in so many ways to get back to illusions.
Yes.
To lose sight of how I'm being manipulated by this culture and by religious culture, both. And miss on, gee, the freedom and the reality of what it is to live a little bit counterculturally, a little bit the not the black sheep or the white sheep, but the blue sheep maybe, huh?
Exactly. Very much in the blue sheep.
Yeah, many people know that's the publishing company that Jess and Kyle have started, and some of my books are there. People know what blue sheep is, but it's a Scottish, I think we did on one podcast, a Scottish thing, not black sheep, not rebellious people, but also not the goody two shoes white sheep kind of thing, but the blue sheep that are a little more independent in spirit, but not rebellious in their hearts, just willing to be true to themselves rather than fit into the expectations others hold of them.
Yeah, that was the whole heart behind it. Was, you know, you've got the conforming, and then you have the intentionally just aggressive and hostile, so more moving out of pain. And then you have those people that are a little odd, a little different, a little out there, but they're authentic to who they were created to be, and they're wanting to live in that space. And that is a Scottish idea of a blue sheep. And I love that's what Jess and I wanted the publishing company to be, and whatever else comes out of that, that was our heart. And
well, I keep waiting for you to start that blue sheep podcast thing or something to tie into that.
So, okay, we can't keep teasing our audience about this, but I do have episodes that are in the works, so I can't wait.
Or so we hear. Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Kyle Rice.
And we're going to welcome you to the 2022 first edition of The God Journey, I guess. First episode.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So speaking of things moving faster than light, I heard that there was a question that was posed about the new year that you got caught off guard by a question.
At my Christmas table. I didn't get caught off guard, really, because I knew it was coming.
Okay.
But I've shared before on here, I've taken to, because I love our fun, frivolous Christmas dinner conversations. We talk about all kinds of things. We laugh a lot. We do that. I always like to take the conversation to someplace that could be deeper. And I like the way it's happened. I usually just have posed a question. And, you know, I made it a joke when the kids were younger. You can't leave the table till everybody's answered the question. So I don't have people going, can I be excused? I want to run and play. I say, no. Nobody leaves till we all answer. And then, you know, no one makes everybody do it. But until they do it, we can't sit at the table. So everybody gets in on it. For Thanksgiving this year, Lindsay, my 14-year-old granddaughter, when I got ready to ask the question, she goes, Grandpa, I studied for this. And I'm like, what do you mean you studied for this? And she said, well, I thought about things I was grateful for. I said, that's not my question. She goes, what? No, I was going to ask something else. And I forget now what I asked at Thanksgiving, but I took them a different direction because I knew they'd be ready for that. Grateful is just an easy one, and I wanted to go deeper. So when Christmas was coming, I pulled Lindsay aside last weekend. I said, hey, how about you come up with a question? She goes, what? I said, why don't you come up with a question you'd want to ask everybody before they leave the table? And she goes, I won't think about it. I said, I bet you will. I'll tell you what, I'll have a backup. So in case you don't, but why don't you just think about it? And so the morning before she texted me, I don't have a question, Grandpa. I said, I think you probably do. And then I kind of said, well, you could do something like this. And I threw out one. Immediately she texts back, what about this one? And it was a question it wasn't even related to what I said at all. But she said, if you could sum up 2022 in one word, what would it be?
Mm.
And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good question. So I knew the morning before what it was going to be.
Okay.
And so everybody else was surprised. Lindsay's got the question. And yeah. And then everybody's going, oh my gosh. And people really struggled to find a word. Not me. I had a word instantly when she texted it to me. I went, one word to sum up 22. So before I share mine, do you have one, Kyle, that sums up 2022 for you? Or 2021, excuse me.
2021. Honestly, the first word that comes to mind, and I've been really enjoying just as I transition through the new year, the end of the the 2021 and moving into 2022. I don't do New Year's resolutions or anything like that, but I want to hold, like, what are some of the themes, Lord, or what are some of the things that I've been pondering? Or so I really like to explore that and reflect on that. And thinking back on 2021, it was a year of gracious holding, which is really intriguing.
That's two words.
I know it's two words.
You never get excused from my Christmas table.
I know.
You'd still be sitting there, man, at midnight going, I can't think of a word.
I guess I would say holding. And because this year has been very much, 2021 has been very much a year of Jess and I trusting some things that God has moved us into or asked us to step into, but also he's had us in this space where it's been very tender. He's been building in, intentionally giving us opportunities to build in space into our lives where we can just do life with each other, whether it be doing life with our community or doing life as a couple. And man, it has been a wonderful, stretching at times, but a wonderful space to be in that holding where I don't feel any urgency, but I feel his provision and his kindness and his tenderness in just allowing me to rest in some regards in the 2021 year and not feel this angst to try to make something happen or to perform, but to pause and take a deep breath and just be in his holding.
Neat.
What about you? What was your word?
My word was bipolar. And man, eyes pop up around the table like, what are you talking about? 2022 for me was, in my own spiritual journey, the deepest, richest season of growth and presence and dreams and conversations with other people that opened up insights. I mean, my mind has just expanded on how this journey comes to be for people and where it is that God wants me to walk. And it has been really rich on that side. On the other side, I've been through the most painful experiences of my life this year in some family, extended family situations. And it has been like Dickens described, the best of times and the worst of times. There's been very little in between. There's been very little that's just kind of, nice day, nice this. That's either excruciatingly beautiful or it's been joyously awesome. Those two things have both been, and God's been consistent in both of them. Even in the pain, I've held the pain in this place of grace and life. And yeah, I've got situations I can't fix with people who've chosen to spread horrible lies about me and judgments, and then not even want to have a conversation with you to say, is that even true or not? Because I think they know they can't sustain a conversation. So they just want to make the accusation. I want to have this little party over here and hate on Wayne. And you know what? There's nothing I can do to fix it. And God's been in that, giving me insight and direction, not just directly in my prayer seeking, pondering seasons, but from other people that have been so confirming in where I need to be in this part of the journey. So the bipolar has definitely been in the circumstance. The bipolar has not been internal. I've not vacillated between, you know, God's with me, God's not with me, God's blessing me, God's punishing me. It's not been in that space at all. It's been, God's been consistent through it all. And the revelations that have expanded my heart in ways that has not happened to me in the same degree since the stuff that's in He Loves Me. And so I'm really excited. I was plotting out a book today as to what that looks like to write the next piece of this journey. So really excited about that. And at the same time, still have this thing in my life. I've lost relationships with people that I love and respect and admire and have my whole life. And those relationships are currently not on the table because they try to exist. The only way I can be at that table is to act like the lies are true. And I can't do it. I'm not going back in the illusion even to save the relationship. So I'm going to hold the relationships, hoping that light eventually shines in the darkness. And that I don't have any animosity or anger in my heart, even for them. It's that, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the space my heart is in as regards them. But at the same time, I really miss relationships that I'm currently outside of. And, you know, that those words of Jesus, blessed are you when men insult you, exclude you, and lie about you for my name's sake. And I'm just going, wow, that's Jesus warned us. That's here. Interesting enough, it's a scripture that someone gave to me a number of years ago over the thing that happened at the church, the last congregation I was at. And going, you know, there's so many parallels to that same reality. I've been here before. And so now we'll see where God takes it on next.
So looking, comparing those two, what's the thing that stands out the most to you that God has nurtured and built in those 23, 24 years since that last congregation space? So you were in that, you encountered that betrayal and that broken, and now you're experiencing it again. But what stands out to you? What do you see different? How has God moved in that or changed or altered? Like, where do you find yourself landing?
Man, I could say a million things. I it's hard to just limit it to a couple. I think in the beginning days, 25 years ago, 27 years ago, it was all about me and shame and failure. And, you know, I should have won. I should have. And years of rethinking it and what I could have done, should have done, might have done. This time it was much less focused on me. My pain was not the most important part of it. It was the darkness that had intruded on my family. And it was the trauma that is behind that for people who have to react that way because of their pain. And so that others focusedness that Stefan talked about a year ago, I'm better in that space, not completely in that space. I wouldn't sell that, but better in that space. And I'm more aware of what's going on, more aware of God showing me it was coming before it came. So foreshadowing the reality, and I'm already there with insight that he gave me before it happened. So I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm lost. I should have. I was just, okay, I know what God wants me to do. And then living there has not been easy for sure. But I think that was a part of it, that God's love has been the consistent thing in that, and that I have that the insight there of so much else that was going on in my life, it was not, don't define your life by this pain. This is just pain you're going through. Be aware that the people causing the pain are in more pain than you are. So that provokes compassion for me. It's not, you know, these evil people doing evil stuff. It's just not, it's broken people doing what broken people do. Broken people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. So I've been able to stay in that space even as I get still. I mean, accusations just grow in the absence of relationship. Yeah, things just grow. I get accused of really strange stuff now, and I just go, gee, I'm not even involved in that, and I get blamed for it. So I that makes it clear what's going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been more, I guess I would say, windblown in this situation. Mm-hmm. Just there's this dark pit that it tries to drag me down into that I just don't feel inclined to go down. I would have to make a choice to go that way now. And being inside what God's been revealing and showing, and the lightness of heart that comes from love, rest, and play, which was one of the big lessons from this year, how love, rest, and play works in my relationship with God, and how it's important to have other relationships that look like that too. So if it's not there, then you realize, hey, we're not loving, we're not resting, and we're not playing. So I don't have to be involved in that. I can hope for a better day when people who are in their desire to move out of that anger and animosity and hostility. I was even thinking this week, one of the things I read in Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago, and this was about Senator Manchin and his, you know, blowing up the Build Back Better bill that Biden wanted and all that stuff. This was in the Wall Street Journal. It actually talked about the tactics that have been used with Manchin and why they've not worked, which was an interesting editorial. But it said this at the end. Their tactics, speaking of those on the left of Manchin who wanted him to do what he needed to, their tactics, whether used against politicians or average people, include relentless moral condescension, the messianism of mass protests, physical intimidation, social ostracism, and demands that you simply shut up and give in. And I was reading that going, okay, that's not only on the left. That's also on the Trump right, for sure. it's also describes well my family and what was going on this year of this just moral condescension, pressing, getting allies to tell you what a horrible person you are. And I'm sitting there going, none of what you're saying is true. If it were true, I could say, yeah, man, I need to repent and make some changes. But yeah. You're not even accusing me of things that go to brokenness in my own life or failures in my own life. You're making up stuff that I don't even have a, oh yeah, I could see where I would do that. I wouldn't even do it. But the same weight of if we ostracize you enough, intimidate you enough, yell at you loud enough, you will eventually see our way. And I just, it hasn't worked on Manchin, and honestly, it hasn't worked on me either. But I thought, what an amazing statement. Have those things being used. And that is, that describes the political landscape right now. If you're not in the right, whether it's race or Build Back Better or wherever, if you're not in this orthodox view of what my tribe holds, we'll kill you. And we won't even bat an eye to do it. Been crazy that way. Mm. So what are you looking forward to in 2022? Kyle, you got any thoughts about, I mean, I'm not much of a calendar guy, so the clock changes on Sunday, and so everything's going to be new in God. But it's not a bad time to take stock of what do you think's ahead in 22? You got a word that goes into 22 with you?
So it was really interesting, Wayne, literally right before you and I recording this podcast, I was talking with a good friend of mine, and they're also a life coach. And we were just chatting, and they made a comment of, what would you say right now? Like the sense, because I was talking about some frustration and some angst and some different things that I was wrestling with, some old stuff that I was wrestling with. And I was like, man, what? They put the question out there of, what comes to your mind right now if you're just pausing and asking the Lord, like, what's coming to your mind? And instantly, the words "be still" came into my mind with a force, Wayne. Like, I verbalized it and was instantly in tears. And I was like, whoa, like, whoa, wow. I was so caught off guard. I couldn't believe it. And even now, as I'm sitting here and reflecting back on it with you, I think about that, how over the last year I've learned, Jess and I have been living in this space where we feel like God was holding space for us. And we're starting to learn how to hold space for others, how to hold space for ourselves. And yet my natural born temptation is to go out and do things, to make things happen, to drive, to force something into existence. And it was so funny because the words "be still" came to my mind. And then one of my first, like, old man reactions, old self reactions, was, it's really hard to justify being still. I was like, oh, okay. you got me, Lord. It was just this art reaction of, it's really hard to justify being still. And that goes back to, there's some things going on in my family. There's some conversations about finances and how to manage your finances. And there's some, like, shame and obligation stuff that's kind of going on there that I'm trying to navigate. And my first reaction was, well, I'm going to have to work my buns off for the next 8 weeks before my second daughter is born so that I can rebuild and more finance, like all these different things and performance stuff. And I just had to pause and be like, oh, Kyle, like, remember that holding space, me holding space for you, you holding space for others. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that as you carry it into 2022. And there's some real excitement for me for 2022. In regards to, I really get a sense that God's going to be bringing Jess and I into more of a unity in us living in a wholehearted space together. And I don't know entirely awesome. What that looks like, but that's been a prayer that Jess and I have been holding before the Lord for a while, because specifically in our geographical locations, in our careers, it's felt like one was thriving and the other wasn't. Or one was kind of doing their thing and then one was really thriving, and just feel like God's going to gently maybe aggressively move us into a space where we're more living out of that space. And then the "be still," that that is raw, fresh off the presses, and I'm going to have to hold that one a little bit more with the Lord and just and do some more asking. I love the conversations about, and this is something that you and I have been talking about a little bit, but the idea of untangling the life of Christ from the brand of Christianity is very much on my heart. Those are conversations that we had with young people, with the 20s and 30 somethings. Those are conversations that I'm having with my community. And man, that I know that might really polarize some people, but the idea of really untangling the authentic life of Christ from the brand of Christianity that is being sold right now. And it comes back to some of the delusion things that the prayer group has been talking about, and that spirit of delusion that's been hovering and dancing. And
well, we could take a whole podcast on that or more.
Right? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said there about where how that happened. Cause it's not, I know people are thinking, oh, you're going to do that in the wider world. It really is about in our hearts, right?
Yeah.
And about people we meet. It's not that we're going to entangle that in the culture at large, because Christianity has branded itself all over with Jesus and Jesus imagery, even while it does pretty much what the Pharisees said. Not all brands of Christianity do this. There's real authentic followers of Christ out there in Christianity.
Yeah.
But a lot of Christianity is no longer, they've hidden the reality of Christ in the symbols and the icons, and they've trivialized it, as we started out earlier, and missed the reality. And that's something that has to happen in our hearts. If we're going to find that real authentic life in Jesus, we've got to entangle it from what it means to have our good Christian sensibilities about us, because they're going to fail us in terms of, in the same way that good Judaism failed the early, you know, the people Jesus came to, that whole culture, just, he didn't fit in the religion we created around God. So that can't be God. Instead of finding our way to the authentic Christ. I love that. I think that'd be an awesome. Love to see how that happens more in the year to come.
What about you? What are some things that have been stirring, or themes that have been stirring for you as you look towards 2022? Has there been anything that's been kind of coming up for you?
Well, a lot of themes, a lot of trying to put to paper some of the stuff that's been in the last year, or even to podcasts, you know, however that kind of comes out. But the thing I've thought about is, as this year approaches, and I think it's part of the 20s and 30s retreat, it'd be two words. And it's kind of like excruciatingly beautiful. It kind of, that don't go together. It's joyously sober.
Ooh.
There's a sobriety about, you know, almost a year ago now, it'd be another couple of months, so 10 months ago, I did that video about It's Time. And that has grown on in my heart. I'll do a blog on it fairly soon, I think, probably before this podcast airs. But I did this video about It's Time and the Romans 8 for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed in the earth. And I hold that in my heart. I've seen, I think, the first fruits of that in very limited ways. But I really do think, whether we're at the end of the age or at some of the birth pangs that mark the end of the age, and one of the things that Scripture continues to talk about is sobriety, being sober, keeping watch, knowing the seasons and the times. And there's a lot of people completely oblivious to the times, and in terms of spiritually, and are adding to the conflict and angst of our culture in the name of Christ, which I don't think is really what it is. I think there's sobriety about where's God's hand in the world and where's God's hand in my life. But with that is an immense amount of joy. It's not fear, always second coming kinds of stuff. If we're approaching that, and I'm not saying we are, I kind of think we might be, or at least living as if it might be. But sobriety is always the word that's used, but it's sobriety in the sense of, I really want to zero in on what God's doing in Wayne and what God's asking of me. And I don't want to waste my effort doing stuff that's Wayne generated and not coming out of what's real. I've continued to do that Dante thing, and in purgatory now with Dante's character in the Divine Comedy. And one of the things they're talking about in there is how little we grasp what's going on in the world around us. We can't, or in God. That it's not that we get the plan figured out. It's that we trust the words that he shows us. He trusts that we're going to get a glimpse of where God, what space God wants me to be in, And I get to live in that glimpse.
Yeah.
It's not, I understand all that's going on. I know exactly what's being required of me. There was a, I'm also reading the Apocrypha. So I guess people accuse me of going Catholic here. The Apocrypha is those books that Catholics have recognized as scriptural that come out of Jewish history, be part of the Old Testament. And I never read them. I've never read them cover to cover. So I've started reading a little bit of that every day. And one of the things I talked about today was this man coming out of the sea, which is an analogy from Revelation. And it was, why the sea? And this is from Esdras, and Ezra is asking the question. And he says, because there's so much going on in there you can't see. That's what the sea represents. And I've never realized that when I read Revelation other places. The sea represents, here's the vastness of God that you can't comprehend. But something comes out of that you can see and can comprehend without comprehending the whole. And so in this part of the journey, the why questions become absolutely irrelevant. It's not, well, why God this? And why are you doing that? And why aren't you doing it this way? It's not. It's what? What are you showing me?
Yeah.
What's true that you want me to embrace today? And then I'm going to live in that reality. And it comes in glimpses. It comes a day at a time. It's not, I know people are always looking for a roadmap, a five-year strategy, tell me how this works so I can follow a plan. And it really is about trusting God enough to give us the glimpses. And when you have the glimpses, it's just, okay, that's what God, how I've negotiated the last year, there was glimpses of stuff. And as I lived in those glimpses, more glimpses come. When I live in my own wisdom, all that stops. You know, my wisdom goes so far and then it dies. So kind of when I'm sitting there going, I have no idea what to do here. I'm going, okay, so I've been chasing my stuff. That's where I'm much more relaxed. Okay, that's my stuff. So God, what glimpse did you give me? How do I stay in that space? And then everything invites you out of that glimpse. Everything does. Everything around you is like, no, it's not God. You can't be right. I'm going, eh, yeah, but people I trust, when I share it, they'll go, yeah, I think that's God. And I'll go, yeah, see, I do too. And some ways I feel horribly irresponsible living there. But when I'm there, it's that love rest play. It's that joy of, man, I can have everything falling apart around me, even things that I value. And yet still be at rest and at peace and at play with God's love inside my heart. And so joyously sober is the best way I could say it. I there's a real sense of, yeah, God's doing something in the world. I want to be a voice that encourages that. I want to be with the 20s and 30s to the degree that they let me in. And I got an invite to Nashville I'm going to in a couple of weeks. And one whole day is set aside for 20s and 30s. I'm like going, boy, that somebody creates that space. And the group inviting me is in their 20s. So,
nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited about, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why me and old geezer gets invited into that. But there's things we talked about yesterday of not only being with that age group, helping them discover what God's showing them, not telling them what to do, just, cheerleader stuff alongside them. At the same time, I haven't lost my heart for 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, those are people in whom God is at work as well. And some of those are going to get to be real encouragers of the younger crowd. If they don't have to be the center of attention and they don't have to worry about getting their stuff published and getting this done, that done, their ministry and blah, blah, they can really turn around and say, how can I take what God has revealed to me over the years of my life that's been real and vital? How can I come alongside another life, not as the instructor teaching them what they should do because I did it, but just being alongside them to help put your finger on things God showing them? And that's the challenge, because my age group's not been great at that. We always come up with curriculums and plans and telling others what to do instead of, no, you're going to discover this better explored than explained. We've had that conversation. Yes. So how are we beside fellow explorers as God's revealing himself to them? Not that I'm the conduit of that revelation. No, the Spirit is the conduit of that revelation. I can be a cheerleader, an encourager, put my finger, go, yeah, it might be God's fingerprint right there, when I know the things that God shows them challenges their life in the world. It does. It challenges everything about the system. Going back to the Matrix, man, it challenges all of that. And if we can be in the space of embracing it for ourselves and encouraging others in that journey, that's the conversations I want to be in over the next few years of my life. So it's not a 2022 thing. It's just, there's a shift from, yeah, I've helped at one level people and I'll still continue to help people live loved. I'm not giving that up. But at the same time, it's shifting to, there's a deeper preparation going on. It is time for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed in the earth. And it's time for God to take these pools of water that are bubbling up all over and let those streams connect with each other and genuinely let God do it, not try to do it for him.
Yeah. And holding that, right? Being that, yep. being that space, that encouragement, that, and again, I want to just reaffirm it. It could be somebody who is a champion for, or a cheerleader for, it could be somebody who is in their 30s or their early 40s that has yep. been doing this life for a period of time. And it could be somebody who's in their 40s that's just starting, that's at the trailhead, that is feeling that water bubbling up and has been having that deep work. And so don't want to put that, like, to isolate it into that chronological age. And I know you're not either, by any means.
Sure.
But man, yeah, to be a part of those conversations. And I think also just to ask God, where am I at in that conversation? And that's what I love, is that it's just a continued process of that relational depth and that growing, because if you're not having to be the conduit, you can be right alongside learning, growing, exploring, and enjoying all at the same time, right alongside of them.
Exactly. And I'm it's going to be interesting to see how all of that unfolds in the year to come.
Yeah.
And the years to come.
Yeah.
I there's a joyful sobriety in my heart that can hold space. Like being still in the midst of that. There's no rabid need to go out and make anything happen. It's just, I want to see it as it begins to happen and know my part in encouraging it rather than trying to control it or manage it.
Yeah.
And then go for the ride of our lives, man. This could be the great adventure.
I think it is.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.